Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMass and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take.
I've got a million of them.
Zolak.
That's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports App.
I think when we look at how Giannis is going to play in Game 5, I think it's a huge advantage now that it's just one day in between each game, because to me, Giannis looks gassed. He's had to carry this team basically start to finish, and he looks increasingly frustrated. Like, I feel like, and we talked to Zora Stevenson earlier in this series, and she said if you can get Giannis into foul trouble, if you can get him out of his game, sometimes his frustrations take over. I feel like that's what's happening with him, and that's why I felt like the Celtics broke the Bucks last night, because I think they broke Giannis a little bit. But you think he's going to bounce back and have a monster game?
Yes. Didn't we just do this in game two? What? Oh, Giannis had a bad game. And is he going to respond? And then he responded and had a monster game in game three. I know that was at home. He's been an MVP. He's been a defensive player of the year. He's won a world championship by scoring 50 points in an elimination game. Yes, I expect a big response out of Giannis. And if I'm Al Horford and the Celtics, I'm a little worried. I've poked the bear. Awaken the beast a little bit.
It's Milliken's birthday today. Happy birthday, Milliken.
Man, you were born a good year.
1998 he was born.
I was throwing donos. I was dropping donos.
What?
98.
Donos means donos touchdown are passes. I didn't know that till just now.
He digresses.
I had so much done, like, in life, and you weren't even born yet.
Just starting.
On my way.
Dropping donos is now touchdown passes. Okay.
That's it, a three.
That was Trenny and Adam Jones on Early Edition.
Jones just
NBC Sports
her.
Boston. His way of dropping a condescending yes,
yeah,
is something. And I've been in that same spot that Trenny was in, where she says the take that she knows that he has. And you're like, so let me get this straight. You believe this? Yeah. Like, he looks at you like, did I stutter? Yeah. What are you not understanding about this? But let's get to that question. Will Giannis respond to all the crap he has probably taken on social media the last couple of days, and the way people have talked about how the finish of the game went for the Celtics, and Al Horford getting fired up, a guy who never gets fired up, getting fired up about Giannis in the game.
I think he'll
dropping an elbow right in his face.
He'll be more forceful. I think you'll get more drives down the lane. You know, duck the shoulder, drop the shoulder, try and stuff it over someone. Yeah, I think you're going to get more of it.
Do you know what I would say to that, though? None of that needed to happen for Giannis to have a response. None of it did. It may make for more of a response, but who do you think that guy is?
Don't you feel he's the same every night? Like, he's the same, like, very unstoppable force. Like, he's going to get his. He's going to get his 30, 35 easily.
I think
they're making him work for it, but he's getting it.
I think in game two, I think he looked a little stifled, and I think, and by the way, I know this is in direct opposition to what we were talking about yesterday, how he's going to get his and he don't bother doubling and stuff. But he can get frustrated. And have an off night.
Yeah.
Game two was his off night in this series, if I remember correctly.
Yes. Yeah. Celtics got beaten badly in game one. The rest have been pretty tight. Yeah,
check his numbers.
He turned the ball over in that game.
He probably still had 28 points, but for Giannis, that's an off night.
I felt like the last I felt like his big response in game three was hugely important to his team. And I don't know. I don't think that he's always going to get his. He has some nights where he goes off.
Game two, 28 points. But Milwaukee scored 86 and he wasn't able to bring everybody along with him.
They were on the verge of getting blown out.
I mean, that's the level of player he is. When you're talking about you holding, you know, holding him back a little bit.
Hold him under 30.
You kept him to under 30. That guy's a force.
Yeah.
He's an absolute force.
Like his games, and I think Jones mentioning the 50-point night in an elimination game tells you that he's one of those guys that, I mean, we look at him and he's unbelievable.
I fear him more than I fear Durant.
He's younger and he's healthier.
Yeah,
and he's,
I mean, but even he's better, well, I know Durant
he's in a better place in his career.
I know Durant's a better like pure scorer and shooter.
Yeah,
like I trust that. But like Giannis's game is not going to change based on what transpired over the course of the first four games. Like he's going to continue to get the ball and transition, handle it, and drive and not pass. And you better try to stop.
Yeah, I'm with you, Zoe. Leading into that Brooklyn series, I wouldn't say, oh, no, I'm much more afraid of Giannis than I am Durant. No way. Durant is the man. Right up until I saw him check out and the Celtics sweep Brooklyn, I would have given Durant every bit as much respect as I do to Giannis. Now it's, of course, it's changed. It's different. It's, you know, recency bias, whatever.
Very curious to see how Rob Williams plays tonight in his return. We talked about this after game three. That he did not look like himself. He was not moving well, did not look healthy, and then he sits out game four. Yeah. I was not totally shocked to see that play out the way that it did because I don't think he was right. I don't think he's been a major factor in the series for the Celtics to this point. I'm hoping the rest makes him more of a factor. I do.
I hope he plays.
I mean, it seems like he is going to play.
It seemed like he was going to play right up until about 10 minutes before the pregame started the other night. Yeah, and I think he will too, but we talked a bit about it yesterday.
He got knocked around. Like, he got knocked around those couple games. Like, the elbows to the temple and the forehead.
You guys both said, don't bring him back too soon. I'm like, he's fine. He's fine. What are you guys talking about?
He'll look right.
They brought him back too soon.
Maybe they brought him back too soon.
And so there was, you know, we were talking about, well, could you wait one more game before you bring him back in that series with the Nets? Maybe if you wait out that one extra game, he's not missing game four of this series. I mean, that's a line you might be able to draw. It's like impossible to know, but I don't rule it out. I look at that and I say, they brought him back too soon. They did.
Yeah.
That's why he's missing time. So I hope they, you know, got him all the treatment that he could need. They said it flared up. They just called it a flare up. It speaks to something bigger picture, though, beyond just this playoff run, which is what you had as your biggest concern about him, which is that it becomes a chronic knee injury and a chronic problem that always needs to be managed.
Like Kemba Walker. Look at Kyrie. Once you get the knee stuff, man, it's I don't care how young you are.
Well, you got the knee stuff, and now he's playing on it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So there's that. Also, Jason Tatum, is he going to get going in this series or what?
Let's get going to you, because like at the end of the game, he did what he had to do. Like that's the guy. That's the game ender. That's the guy that finishes. But like Hardy and I talked about it, you know, 4 hours yesterday. There's periods of like three periods where he just doesn't seem like he's. He's engaged, but like last 4 minutes, engaged, ready to go. Needs to do that entire game. But he did that at the end of the year. Like his elevation to the player he's at now and how we view him differently to where it's his team and, you know, being in a discussion of a top five player doesn't look like that at times in this series.
Yeah, I think part of it has been that they've played him physically. They've tried to take him out. They've focused on taking him out of the series, and I don't know that he's responded all that well to it. There's almost a parallel to the way Durant was played by the Celtics in the first series. Maybe not to that degree.
Yeah.
Right? He's not been totally ineffective, but he's not been good. He's not been his best in this series.
Nope. And not knocking down open shots to the point like, ooh, something bugging him? His arm bugging him? His wrist bugging him?
We thought at the end of game three that he was afraid to shoot.
Yeah, deferring. Not like him.
No. That's a question I have going forward. 617-779-0985. Brent and Shrewsbury, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, gentlemen? So I noticed a coaching thing that Coach Ime did at the end of the game, which was Derek White was one. He was playing a little better, so that helps. But they had him in with the starters instead of Grant Williams, you know, the no Time Lord starters they were using. So Grant was out and Derek White was in, and I think part of that was because Horford's on a tear, so instead of having Grant, who can shoot threes, but he's not a ball handler and passer, whereas you get another guy with Milwaukee's pressure who can play more like a point guard, and then you didn't need anyone in the middle scoring besides Horford. So it's a little worse defensively, I would think.
Hugely, but oh, God, yeah. Horford. No, you take a huge hit defensively when you do that, but I think part of it was them throwing it out the window. Ime throws it out the window, but he also knew that I think also made it an easier decision for him that Williams was not shooting well in the game. He was not having a great night. So it's like, all right, we're gonna try and score here. I'm going to take him off the floor because offensively he's fading a little bit. So I think that was all sort of something that factored into it. 617-779-0985. Celtics calls, Bruins calls, and reaction to Tom Brady going to television, which happened yesterday. I think if you heard the report on the money, it makes all the sense in the world. We'll get to that next here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Opinionated.
Aquarius is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, there's been so much speculation about what Tom Brady is going to do after his career is over. Is he, oh, I don't know, going to be part owner of the Miami Dolphins? Is he going to go to parts unknown and never be heard from again? Somewhere in there is the answer, and we actually found it today as Fox Sports announced that Brady is going to be the lead analyst on their games alongside Kevin Burkhardt in the number one booth whenever he retires, if Brady retires. And, of course, we know part of the way we got here, MJ, was we thought Tom Brady was retiring this past offseason. He actually announced it, then came back about a month later and said no. He decided to play again. It was just Bruce Arians who was retiring. So when Brady steps away, we know what he's going to be doing. And look, Brady has had no experience in the broadcast booth, but he's had plenty of experiences on the other side. Countless, countless production meetings. And of course, he's been interviewed a million times just on podiums and otherwise. This is a guy who is clearly, clearly ready for the spotlight. It really is just, when is Brady going to take over? Wouldn't be surprised if it's Greg Olson sort of filling in, let's say, as the lead analyst until Brady is officially and finally done.
Again, brothers, sisters, everybody saying, gonna bring the flame, I'll show you.
Ian Rappaport talking about Tom Brady,
got a question for you, better answer,
who yesterday had it announced that he will be moving to the broadcast booth when his career comes to a close in the NFL. Tom Brady has played 22 full seasons in the NFL. Do you know what his take-home money has been at the end of the day after all the calculations and caps and bonuses? And
I want to say less than $375.
It is. It is $303 million, thereabouts. He's played 22 years in the league and has been a star of the league and a face of the league in addition to being a seven-time Super Bowl champion and the best quarterback to ever play the sport. He signed a 10-year contract to make $375 million in the broadcast booth by working for Fox and the Murdoch family. I think that's pretty easy to figure out why it is he's going to do that job when he is done, because it is a life-altering type of contract. Now, that sounds silly to say, right? Like Tom Brady needs the money. He doesn't need the money, but I'll tell you what, that's a good incentive to do. Quit all the other stuff that he's got going on that probably would take up way more time and energy and focus and would not yield anything close to $375 million, which means you don't have to screw around with Alex Guerrero opening TB12 clinics across the world to help athletes. And You don't have to sit there and sell your T-shirts and your hats and all this other crap you're hawking now.
Nuts.
No, you could do nothing except show up for a football game for about, we'll say, 22 weeks a year. And that's all you got to do. You show up and call a game once a week. And that's not to say that it isn't work or it's not going to require energy or focus or anything else, but it's a whole hell of a lot less work than anything else he would have to do to come anywhere near $375 million. He will have that $375 million in his mid-50s. That contract will be over and paid.
Yeah.
Mid to late 50s, depending on when he finally does hang it up here. That's a pretty good carrot there.
It really
is. That was probably a really easy decision for him to make to say, wait a second. You're going to pay me, on average, $37 million a year? I've only eclipsed that one season in my entire career. And that was in 2021. Last season, for the first time, he made more than that in terms of take-home money at the end of a season. So I bet that was really easy to say, yep, I'm going to do it. And here's my prediction on it. So am I surprised? A little bit, but only because I didn't think this is the way that he would go. But the money, I just think, should take away any surprise.
But tells you now, like, right? my surprise now is less than it was. Like, I was floored, shocked.
Right.
When I'm going through Twitter, it's like, is this a real tweet?
Why'd you see the money? You're like, oh, nope, like, I get that.
Oh, that's why.
And it makes it real easy. And in addition to that, I think when he begins, he's going to suck. He's going to realize it's not an easy thing to do, in that you've got to work at it a little bit. And then over a period of time, maybe a season, he's going to get really good at it because that's who he is. Because he'll treat it the same way he treated
his career. For him. Yeah.
It'll be challenging, and he might be not as great in the beginning. He's not Tony Romo. He doesn't ooze personality. He's got so much of that Patriot way built into him. He's hardwired to say absolutely nothing. I think it might take just a little bit of time. And I think there are times where he even wants you to believe that he's saying something really authentic and really true. See the docuseries, right? Yeah. Oh, this is where I'm going to bear it all. I don't know that all of that is totally authentic.
No, he told you like 98% of the time I'm lying.
Bingo.
Yeah.
So I think he's got to lose some of that. I think he's got to be willing to...
He knows.
He's got to be willing to become a-hole Tom Brady at times. Troy Aikman has taken so much crap in the booth over the years about when fans get upset with him for what he said
yeah.
about their favorite quarterback or their favorite player, or right? That's part of that gig.
Hey, he's buddies with Aaron Rodgers. When you're doing Green Bay games, are you going to be able to get critical of Aaron Rodgers? Like, oof, that's a bad throw. I would not have thrown it there.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I want to hear Tom Brady tell me why all the other quarterbacks are doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to take some time for him to get comfortable to do that.
I think it's an indicator to the league too, where they got to take notice, like, and the money that's out there with these, you know, these broadcast partners. Yeah, you know, what Romo's making, what Aikman's making.
Take notice. What do you mean?
I think Brady's sitting there and he said, "What do you mean you're going to pay Sean McVay $30 million a year? Holy crap!" So then, when the phone call came, like, this is real money.
Also, the league is going to have problems retaining players, retaining coaches.
You got the great,
if they have an opportunity to switch into broadcasting.
You just gave the
finite number of jobs.
No. That's not my point. Not the point that they're going to go bounce there. They're going to be.
I thought on that too.
It's the quarterbacks. The quarterbacks have to take notice that
Brady's played 22 years though.
Yeah. No, the quarterbacks take notice that. Jesus, look at the money that they want to pay these guys. They can't nickel and dime us.
Oh, like,
so Mahomes,
you negotiated your CBA. I mean, tough crap.
We sit here and we're trying to come to grips with the Deshaun Watson contract and fully get. Yeah, that's where this stuff's heading with the money. It's how much money these networks are making.
I think the Sean McVay situation, because Hardy, what you're saying is there are a finite number of jobs in the broadcasting field. So it's not like they can take a bunch of coaches and a bunch of players.
That's not my point.
I think the league averted a disaster with him leaving to go to the broadcast booth at his age, where he's at in his sort of career arc, that if he really did consider it or is going to soon consider it in the next couple of years, leaving the profession to go to the broadcast booth, that to me is a problem for the league because he is their best young head coach.
Yeah, how's that guy burn out?
Sean McVay's the best young head coach and he's coming off a Super Bowl win and he's young. And if you were to walk out and say, you know what, why am I doing this gig when I can go in the broadcast booth and work far less and make far more money. That to me would have been really bad for the NFL if that happened.
If it did, but I don't think McVay is anywhere near the get that some of these other players and coaches that look at who's gone in so far. Tony Romo, quarterback of, like it or not, America's team. You know, you're getting marquee guys, household names. And as good as McVay might be, not a household, he's not going to move the needle of casual football fans. It has to be, right now anyway, at the level of, like, it's got to be Tom Brady. It's got to be Tony Romo. It's got to be somebody who's spans generations like Terry Bradshaw in order to really make an impact. And if you're not, if you're like one of those bubble guys like Rex Ryan, there's also the possibility that they stink at it and people just don't care that they're on or not.
Yeah.
We all thought that Rex Ryan was going to be great. A lot of people thought Rob Gronkowski and his fleeting appearances on Fox Football were going to be good.
No.
Nope. One doesn't necessitate the other. But I think Zoe and I both agreed with you yesterday when we were talking about it that he may not be great at it at first, but his level of compete will not allow him to suck at it and keep doing it.
It'll get him there.
But you talk to him, Zoe.
I communicated with him.
You texted with him.
He said he's going to give me a ring. He said, yeah. He said, I got a lot of football left here. But
well, debatable.
It's interesting debatable. The way you call the game, you know, with all the calls and that. He goes, I'm going to be reaching out. I'm going to reach out to a lot of the guys, which tells me, okay, he's really going to do this. Like, normally when I text him or something, it's, oh, thanks. Good talking to you. Good text you. Hope everybody's good. But he said, yeah, I'll be reaching out when I'm done here.
So he wants
I read what Tom wrote to him, and in part it said that he likes the way Zoe connects with the fans and how he's
thinking.
He has a good relationship.
What do
with
I
his
have
audience.
To do? It's a it's totally
sometimes
different.
It's
I do
fans
radio.
Of a different market, like the fans in Carolina. I mean, Zoe reaches all fans.
He's going to do TV. TV is different than radio.
So what
radio
we,
hometown
but,
call?
But
it's different.
What we're trying to angle for you is to have you be his personal broadcast guy.
And that's what I reached out. He's like John. I brought up the John Robinson point with John Madden that Jim brought up to me yesterday, and I said, "Hey, you paid him a lot of money." I said, "I've been doing this for a while." He said, I help you out here, pal.
We kind of mentioned it as a goof yesterday, and Zoe immediately took it to mean you're trying to get me out of here. But
yeah,
then I started thinking about it.
That's not relevant to the conversation, though. We're trying to get you rich.
Right, I'd rather be rich.
What a job.
Yeah. I want to work 4 months a year.
Brady spotter and broadcast coach?
There it is. Zoe just said he only wants to work football season.
Who doesn't?
And so
make double and work one-third the time.
And John Robinson was his. I didn't even know about this.
John Robinson coached forever.
I've been reading it now for an hour. I've looked at a bunch of different stories. Sam Farmer had a big write-up this past December when John Madden passed away, talking to John Robinson. There's these pictures of the two of them in the booth where Robinson's like got all his charts and his notes ready for him, and it's like his personal spotter and prep guy and like personal coach in a way.
John Robinson was the guy that knocked on the window to tell Gil to put the cigarette out. Capello will back you up on that.
So this story, now you're going to tell that story quickly. This is at the old stadium, right?
No, it's in this stadium.
Current stadium.
I was doing a game with Gil, and Madden was in there. And Madden didn't like smelling the cigarettes. So Gil would, rip a butt.
Next to the TV.
You know where the partition is, and we always wave to the crew, or they wave at us, and it's back and forth. And Robinson was right up against the glass next to Gil, and he's like, "Hey, can you put the thing out? You know, he doesn't like smelling it." And Gil said, "You're Freedom Rockets number one. I'm going to keep doing my butt, and then I'm going to call the game. Okay, tell him where to stick it."
I mean, that takes some balls to tell Gil Santos he can't smoke a cigarette.
That's what he said.
You want to do that?
Be the day.
You want to tell that guy that he can't have his cigarette?
It's fun doing games.
The windows are wide open.
I got to get Sosi smoking cigarettes.
You're basically outdoors in that booth.
You think Sosi will rip butts during the game?
No, I don't think that's his style, but I
don't make his voice scratch.
I would have never told Gil that he couldn't do anything. That's not a guy you mess with.
I could see Sosi smoking a pipe.
Mm-hmm.
No, bubbles coming out of it.
Especially when he wears his scally cap.
Yeah.
You know, his scally cap and his pipe.
Yeah.
I think it'd be a good look for him.
That sweater he's
coming up for the Patriots against the Rams.
Even if it's just a prop, right? Right. He doesn't even actually have to be smoking.
You don't have to have a
pipe. With the bubbles coming out of it.
You could just, he used to blow bubbles. Yeah. Blow bubbles in the pipe.
Don't. he so badly wants to make the bubbles joke.
No, you have to, your kids always had the bubble pipe, right?
Nope, not doing it.
Yeah.
No. I'm not opening that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Opinionated.
You like donuts? Nope.
And passionate.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb on the branch.
Okay? Brightest bulb on the branch?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It used to be, okay, Phil Simms did it, and Dan Fouts still does it, and on, but they were tie-wearing, jacket-wearing, appropriate, knee-bending analysts who were pretty much straight-laced. I think in Brady's case, because of Romo and Peyton Manning, they'll do it with a different wrinkle. Now, how good will Brady be? I think everyone's going to turn out to watch him. I don't think he cares as much about being liked as people think. I think that he does like the Buck convention. But I'll say this. He does not like to be criticized. And if he doesn't do well, he will take it very personally. It's one thing to criticize his decisions. Personally and professionally,
it's enough
for his performance. So I think that'll be fascinating to watch.
I smell sex and can end it here. Who's that lounging in my chair? Who's that casting devious stares in my direction? Mama, there's surely just a dream.
1998 was the best, man.
I'll tell you what, I got to hear what the music was in the year before.
I'll give you $100 if you can name this band.
Toad and Wet Sprockets.
Nope.
I don't know.
Marcy Playground.
That's how you knew it, because your wife's name.
Oh, play it on Rock.
Oh, yeah.
There she was, like disco lemonade.
Smells sex and candy, yeah.
Tommy Curran thinks that Brady doesn't care if he's liked.
John Wozniak walked into his dorm room, and actually, it was his girlfriend. He was already in the dorm room.
He's like, wait a minute.
And her roommate walked in and said, it smells like sex and candy in here.
Ew.
And that's how he got the name of the song. Mm. I'm sorry, what were you saying?
Must have been a hell of a dorm room. Yeah.
I don't think he cares as much about being liked as people think.
Oh,
I think that he does like the Buck convention. But I'll say this. He does not like to be criticized.
Yeah, so isn't that...
Who does?
Isn't that sort of the same thing? If he gets criticized, he wants to be liked by those people that are criticizing him.
How's he going to get more criticism, from football or from being in the broadcast booth?
Football. People care more about football than broadcasters.
I think people like, even around here, are like, oh God, we can't get away from him.
He doesn't want to be on Sounds of Sunday. That's what it is.
Oh.
Well, it's every broadcaster's nightmare.
Oh boy.
That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, might have to go over those with a fine tooth comb.
But I think that he will respond to people either not thinking he's good or not liking him as a broadcaster. I mean, when you say you don't like a guy in a role like that, you don't know him personally. You're only speaking about his body of work. If you say, I don't like when Tony Romo does the games, I think he stinks. Well, you're not saying Tony Romo's a bad guy. You're saying, I think he sucks at this job if you don't like him. Do you think he'll pull some of that Romo party trick?
No.
With the predicting all the plays.
I'll tell you what.
But you know what? This is an interesting point, because when you're on the air, right, and we know this as like people.
As established veteran broadcasters.
No, just
yes.
as radio dogs,
yeah.
Right? You take it very personally. When someone says, I can't stand that guy, I can't stand that show, you might as well be saying, I don't like him. It's your personality. When you're criticizing Brady for his football, it's like, he sucks. He can't play anymore. You're not saying he's a bad person. But
right.
When someone says they don't like you on the air, it's very easy until you develop a thick enough skin to just brush it off. It's very easy to say, why doesn't anybody like me?
But how do you think the friggin' Who's better than the Beatles? So right. I don't even trust his word.
Right. You get enough criticism.
Like he went off.
You get enough criticism for your show.
Yeah.
You take it as, why does everybody hate me? They don't hate you. They hate your show. You gotta separate the two. And there's a little bit of that when you go to the booth.
And you do get there, but it takes a long time.
Except Giardi,
when you first start, it's hard.
Some of us never get there.
Giardi actually hates Milliken, so.
He'll get there. I agree with that. Just doesn't take 6 months. It takes a little while to get used to that.
I think this will not happen, what has happened with Romo, where Romo attacked it that year one and said, I'm gonna do this. I'm going to try and add this to the broadcast because I have this different insight that Phil Simms didn't have. And Tony was phenomenal that first year. And it just seems like every year after that, it's gradually gotten into a little bit of cruise control. You get the contract. You know, it doesn't seem like he and Nance are the same guy that they were 3 years ago. And he's playing music over there and having fun. I think Tom will not do that. Tom will be meticulous, he'll have notes. Like he keeps his playbooks from 22 years ago stacked behind him in his office. Watch him in some of the documentaries. The Belichick, it's everything's taken in composition book in free form. And it's like Adam Jones notes. It's like hieroglyphics. And like he goes back and he refers. Brady will study. Brady may not even like need a spotter. You know, color guys usually don't need a spotter, but you like to be handed stats. And hey, you know, guys, 8 of 10 last 10 plays. You know, no passes completed over 20 yards. Little things like that. Like the play-by-play guy needs the spotter. Tackle made by number 58. You know, boom. Then you go to your notes. Brady's going to be ready to go, and I think it'll get better. To your point, where you say it might not be great at first. He might stink, but he's going to work at it. He's going to become really good at it because he's a maniacal nut job at everything. He is, and he'll be good at it.
Let's get to more of your calls. We'll talk about this, Tom Brady, Celtics, Bruins. We've got one open line. We're going to get to all these calls coming up next. Stick around.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bring it.
What?
Let's go. I know. You know.
Will Smith, remember when people liked him?
When he was affable.
That guy ruined his career with that one thing.
They didn't release that.
I'm not sure. I said this the day after. I'm like, is he going to bounce back from this? He's got such a intact reputation as a guy people like. I think he blew that whole thing up.
I just read something about him the other day. It's like the ways Will Smith ruined his career before the Oscars.
Studios were canceling projects with him, though.
Yeah. Movies.
But before the Oscars, like some of the decisions he made, like he was offered the role of Neo in The Matrix and instead did
Wild Wild West.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
Good song, though.
Oh, no.
You might fall. There's people that still think that's fake, Hardy, which still amazes me.
What, Wild Wild West? No, that's a documentary.
No, that's a real thing.
No, the slap.
All right, Celtics. Let's get to some of those calls. We got those waiting. Brandon Boston's with us today. Brandon.
That's three in a row.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up?
So I seen there was a question that you guys put up. Will Giannis have I think it was like a big night or something like.
A response,
but the answer is no, because he does it every night. It's just like us when we was dealing with LeBron James. He's always gonna have a big night. Your only job to do is contain him, make it difficult for him to score. So that should be their plan, is to make it difficult for Giannis to score. You don't double him. You worry about the perimeter shooters. You know, But if you know, if they go back to doubling Giannis, they're going to have a big problem. And Jaylen Brown having five fouls, because like I said, they won that game by the skin of their teeth. If they're in foul trouble and Jaylen Brown fouls out, and you know, you expect Al Horford to have this big game like game four, in trouble. So stick to the plan, contain Giannis, protect the perimeter, and that's it.
Yeah, I actually don't disagree with what you're saying there. The ref thing is interesting. Do we know who our refs are tonight? Haven't looked.
Do not know.
It's always a factor in this league.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Not getting any consistency whatsoever from game to game or flow or, you know, call it one way as you do the other. Zero consistency.
Mark Davis?
What's he doing? Do you have stuff to do with the Raiders?
Tonight is Mark Davis.
Hey.
Josh Tiven and Mark Lindsay. That's who we have tonight.
And the alternate is
holy crap,
Gediminas Petrati.
Do you see the Golden State Memphis crew? Zach Zarba, Tony Brothers, Bill Kennedy. That's like a crew of fixers right there. Oh my god.
We had Zarba the other day.
Well, was Jaws
Saturday?
Out.
What's that?
Said John Morant's out.
But Tony Brothers, though, they survived Tony Brothers the other night is what they did. Charlie's in Cranston. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey.
When I was watching Horford in game four, you know what it reminded me of? Zolak's explanation of the butterfly effect. Horford was in the chrysalis, and then he emerged as this majestic butterfly with a nice green hue on his wings. And I think Tatum has to emerge from the chrysalis like a beautiful butterfly and take over the game and follow in Horford's footsteps. Please, I'm out, Radio Dogs. Take care.
The butterfly effect.
What a call.
Chrysalis.
What a call. that was awesome. James in New Hampshire. Hi, James.
Hey, fellas. How you doing? Great show as always. So I just had a question for you, Beetle.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier how engaged Tatum can be. And my opinion is I think he's absolutely engaged in the game. But my other side of it is, how engaged can you be when you're going down the floor and every time you're getting these knick-knack calls? And I know we all watch the game. I'm not trying to make it a battle about, well, the refs called this, the refs called that. But, I mean, in my opinion, Giannis makes a mockery of the game sometimes. It's just ridiculous when this guy goes to the rim, smacks people in the face with his elbows, because obviously he's 7'5", whatever he is. And
it's size.
No, Giannis gets away with things because of his size.
It's a Gronkowski effect.
They can't call everything on him.
Right. I mean, it's a Gronkowski effect. They never calls him a go against Gronk, where he didn't really do anything, but because of the size of the guy and the power of the guy.
Also, why are we against calling goaltending on Giannis? Why is that not allowed? Because twice in this series, he has had goaltends that were not called. They were just blocks. Oh, yeah. Like, No.
All of them.
Why are they not allowed to call that against Giannis?
And I would not have a problem bitching about the refs more if, like, Tatum would go to the bucket and it would be the contact they didn't call. I can't get on him from when he misses the open shots, where he's getting the looks, and he's off. He had some off nights here.
But I'm sorry. I think Tatum has been impacted by the physicality of the series. I do. And I think it's in his head a little bit.
But that's the style of the player, too, because he's really good when he does go to the rim. He can do it. You just want him to do it more. That's my point of Brown compared to him. You know, it's Brown plays with the edge. Tatum started to play with the edge at the end of that game.
So I know you. I know you've driven through the town of Hadley. You ever been to South Hadley?
Yes.
Nice place. That's real nice. That's where Emma is calling us from.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma.
Good morning, gentlemen, or almost afternoon.
I know. You got 1 minute.
I know, right? I wanted to talk about Tom Brady and the Fox Sports. I'm a young person, and so Tom Brady was drafted a week after my birthday. And so he's been part of my life as football. Like, Tom Brady equals football to me.
Yeah, you've been very spoiled over your life. Yep.
I know. I think I am. I appreciate it. But I think that that's kind of what Fox Sports is kind of doing, that they think that the younger generation will watch now that they have that face that is so just with them. Because everybody thinks Tom Brady to football for anybody my age. So I think that's why they did it.
More than the money and
that kind of thing.
I do think it's a big get for them. Now, granted, they lost Buck and Aikman. You know, Amazon's going to Al Michaels. There's a shuffling.
The ego impact here.
There's a shuffling going on. They had to flex and do something. And I talked about this with Hardy yesterday. I said, what's impressive about this? We got a ton of leaks about the Drew Brees stuff. Greg Olson, all the leaks. Peyton Manning, you know, recruiting him, going after him for Monday Night Football. Not a peep about this with Brady. That was the shocking part of it. It was like, boom. It's like someone telling you to pregnant. You know, you don't talk about it. Like, then you get the announcement, like, wow.
The money thing, though, is interesting because I saw a lot of people, like, spouting off about this right away. And I don't know. I don't know the figures. But it's hard to imagine from a bare bones investment standpoint, like, they get the return on that money. Like, how is that worth $375 million to Fox?
So it's not. They overpaid for him. It's definitely a toy. I think you've got to consider a couple of things here, that the loss of Aikman and Buck was, I think, very harmful to their brand. It was.
Yeah.
I mean, Joe Buck has been the announcer of the World Series and the playoffs on Fox or baseball. He's a household name.
Burkhart,
he's been up there in that class of Joe Buck, Jim Nance, Al Michaels for 25 years now. He's been calling Super Bowls and World Series and, you know, whatever else he does from time to time. Open, when they had that for a time. He was their lead guy the way Nance is at CBS, and they lost him.
Here's what's going to be tough for them, too. Go ahead.
So I think they had to overpay. They're trying to make up for it.
It's a splash.
I also think, let's not forget the kind of guys you're dealing with that run these networks. Do you think it was any coincidence that it was Lachlan Murdoch himself that waited and held on to that to do it on the earnings call? Like, I got here. Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And Brady was ready to go on a retweet, too, when Schefter had it, which also kicked me back to the day where you had the announcement of the retirement, where maybe that was also fed by Brady, but he didn't respond to that.
Big,
you know?
Richard measuring contest among TV executives. That's what's going on. And so I also do question if Kevin Burkhart is going to be a premier enough announcer for Fox. He's now the lead guy at Fox.
I'd be a little nervous.
I think if I were Kevin Burkhart, I'd be nervous that someone, not that he's going to lose his job, but he'll still be working for Fox. Do they acquire someone else along the way that supersedes him?
Yeah.
And is in the booth with Brady?
Do they go get like
between
an Al
now and when Brady does it?
Well, right.
What's Michaels?
He's Amazon, right?
He's now Amazon, so he's locked up.
No, I know. Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, that type of thing. Brady might play another 3 years.
Is Michaels a 10-year fix anyway?
No, he's short shelf life left there.
But to the bigger point of it, like, week 10, Cowboys are going to Green Bay. I'm going to watch that game because that's a great game. That's going to be a great game. Dak Prescott versus Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if, I guess they'll do that game, but my point is I'm not going to watch that game because it's Burkhart and Brady calling it. Like, we'll tune in because we know Brady.
Yeah, but you know,
see what he sounds
you
like.
Know the juice around that game with the announcement.
It's going to be great juice, but see, they're always going to have the big game, the big NFC game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're always going to be doing big games. So people will go there because it's a big game, not because the broadcast team's doing it. Like, I'm not going my way. Listen, Sean McVay, if he did it, if he made that jump. Like, we're going to peek in Brady because we know Brady here. And we do Sounds of Sunday, so we'll be a little interested in it. But you watch big games because of the big game. The two teams playing, you know, not who's broadcasting the game. It's nice and all when it all matches up, but, you know, I mean, I remember,
here's the thing about
I remember
Brady.
Growing up, every big game was Pat Summerall and John Madden.
Yeah.
When you hear those guys,
and who brought the energy?
It was Madden.
Madden
brought Brady.
So
the
Kevin Burkhart and Tom Brady, where's the energy coming from there? And so I there's one guy in particular that I think you might want to slide over there who is more of a household name than Kevin Burkhart. And it would be Gus Johnson. You put Gus and Brady together?
Mm. Mm.
Someone's got to bring some energy to the damn thing.
Gus won't be able to keep it in his pants. He'll be over the top every game. Jets, Giants, preseason.
Yeah, that's why they stuck him with Aqib Talib, because they gave him like the worst game. Put some eyes on that game.
Yeah. But that's a unique broadcast.
Wouldn't that be great? I love Gus Johnson.
I didn't even think of that.
I love Gus Johnson. But sometimes he can be a little over the top, but I think you're going to need a little bit of over the top when you have Brady in there. Let's get to headlines. We're a little late. I'm sorry.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.